I'd like to. We'll see what happens. It says AirPlay, unable to connect to Faith Temple iMac.
It was there for a second. I saw it. I didn't do nothing to it.
Okay, you gotta respond to it.
Okay, accept.
There you go. All right, can everybody see that? I wanted to try to get it as big as I possibly could. So let me tell you how I got here. Because I normally don't do Friday. But last night, I don't know if it was the rain, everything that went on yesterday, but for whatever reason, I was wrestling with my sleep. So we've been pretty busy getting ordination stuff together. I had lots of stuff. I had my computer full of documents and everything, just preparing all that, the word for that. And the whole time I was doing that, I kept looking at this one verse. The Lord kept telling me, go back to this verse. Well, last night, I sat up on the side of the bed and I just began to pray for people. Just praying for people. And I figured once I start praying for people, I get tired, I go to sleep. So I started to get tired. I laid back down and still wasn't. So I got up and I said, I'm going back to that verse. Well, I did go back to sleep. In my sleep, I was kind of having this verse just etch itself inside of me. So I got up that morning, slept a couple hours, got up, was having coffee. And I pulled that verse up. And I'm just looking at it. Then I get a call from Brother Scott. A text. That he don't know if he's going to be able to make it. So I told him, so don't worry about it. I got all y'all's back. I'm on it right now. So then he makes it. And I said, look, if you want to take it, I'll give it to you. He said, no. I said, I already sent Sister Linda a song because the song came, everything came.
There you go.
Well, anyway, let's look at it together and set kind of the tone of where this wants to bring us, because we're in the 28th verse of 46. And there's a phrase there, show the way to Goshen. And I didn't realize how important that phrase was to God. But he kept reminding me week after week, go back to this verse, week after week. So I was going back and I was putting little things here, little things there, just copy and paste little things. And so I got all this stuff, but I don't have it together. I got to put it together. Now I got all these areas. But it has to do with this term, show the way to Goshen. Now, who's showing the way to Goshen? Yehuda. Remember that. Now, Wednesday night, I brought kind of just a little thought to the Bible study that Yehuda kicks in the messianic prophecy at this level right here where we're in 46 to 28. Yehuda kind of kicks in there, and there's some things that we need to learn from his messianic, you know, that he's going to be kind of a type of Messiah that's going to come, or he's got to lock in that lineage part. Has to be locked in. Now, I left a lot on the table because this thing got to growing and growing and growing, and there was no way to get through it, so I had to start cutting some spots. So I'll leave it up to you to go back and look at the lineage. I didn't deal with the lineage. But it you can, takes it that far. But what we find in the 46th chapter of Genesis, and we look at this particular passage, we see something pretty unique there that I think we need to spend some time looking at. Because we live in a society that basically says something different than the Bible says. Says something different than God says. Always going opposite of what God says. And we can't buy into that. We can't teach that. We can't sort of believe that. You got to get your mind made up. What God said, if you're going with what God said, you got to stick to that. So if we don't do that, we're going to find ourselves in a lot of trouble. Especially when you're going to teach or preach this message, it'll run away from you because we don't stick to the scripture. Now it says in the 28th verse, and he sent Yehuda before him to Yosef. Who sent him? Yaakov sent him. Why? Because Yaakov was his father and the covenant's with Yaakov, not with Yehuda. Remember that. The covenant is from generation to generation. First it was with Abraham. Then it was with Isaac. Now it's with Yaakov. If Yaakov don't send Yehuda, he don't go. He don't pick, he didn't self-choose this position. He was sent by his father. That's why we know that Yaakov agreed with the position he took. And what moved Yaakov was the fact that he said, let me die. That's what moved Yaakov. Not Reuben said, kill your grandkids if I don't do something. That didn't move Yaakov. But what moved Yaakov was the fact that he said, let me die. Now, and Yaakov paid attention to that. Now we run through that verse and we move on, right? But how do we know he paid attention? Because he sent him. Right. He had all these boys he could have picked from to send. He sent Yehuda because Yehuda had the right words. Mm-hmm. Now he's speaking covenant words. He's speaking covenant agreement. Now what Yehuda's speaking agrees with the covenant God made with Yaakov. So now we have something moving here. And so what we have is, and he sent Yehuda before him to Yosef to point out the way, to point out before him the way to Goshen. Not any other way, the way to Goshen. Now, what does Goshen mean in the Hebrew? Drawing near. We're drawing near. Now we're about to find out who we draw near to and how we draw near to him. So this Goshen sits there. We say, oh, it's just Goshen, Goshen, Goshen. It don't really matter. It matters. Because we're not done with Goshen. We're about to find out why Goshen is necessary and why you have to find your Goshen. You have to find that spot where you can draw near to him. There might be stuff that we got to get rid of. There might be stuff that we got to quit doing to find our spot to Goshen. You never know what that is. So I'll try to practically bring it home as we go through this. But what we find happening here is this word that is used to direct or to point the way, to show the way, is Yerah. I thought that was interesting. The moment I saw that, I knew where this was connected. Because Yerah, here in this 3384, means to throw. And you can see it up here. I have it. Does everybody see it? Uh-huh. Fear, the pictograph Yud is a picture of a hand, and the Resh is a picture of a man. Combine these means hand of man. Now that, just saying that as you say it, it kind of says, well, where's God at in here? The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So we have to have the hand, and that's not, this is not just any man. This is not some ordinary man. This is extraordinary man. This is the Messiah, our Yeshua. His hand is going to be the one that points us in the right direction. If he ain't pointing, we ain't going. Are y'all with me so far? So keep this pictograph language, didn't miss it. But when you see hand of man, you say, well, see, we think men here. This is past us. This is what we couldn't fix, he fixed. So we're not going if he don't direct us, right? Is that our stance? It should be, because remember, he uses Yehuda, which is messianic, in the nature that he's even selected, fourth son. Selected. And now he's the one going to lead to where? Goshen. Point the way to Goshen. So Goshen means drawing near to who? God. How you draw near to God if you don't have the one directing you right? You got to have the right director. It's just like a boat captain. You know, if he's a boat captain in Venice, you're going to get on his boat, you're going to be confident. He done been down that river 1,000 times. You're not sitting back there worrying about, does he know how to drive? You're not worried because he's been there. He knows. So you're not there. Now, you do get some occasionally. You get some that think they know. And they'll stand on the side of you and say, you know, they might give little directions like that. Every time I was in that case and I was with guys that I've been with for years, like Dr. Griffin, he'd tell them, hey, go sit down. My dad used to make this statement, I forgot more than you're ever going to know.
That's
right. So we want Yeshua to point us in the direction. So notice this language. The hand of a man is used for the throwing. What is he going to throw? Let's read. A flowing of water in a river. So we know it's throwing or flowing. A throwing of the finger to show a direction to walk or live. How many know he's going to throw the finger to show us the direction to walk or live? This is what our Messiah is going to do. The throwing of an arrow. Why is that important? You'll see that later on because sin is defined by missing the mark. So he would pull the arrow back and send it downrange, and then they would shout, sin! Mean he missed. Because he missed the mark. This was language that was not just biblical language, but went from biblical language even to modern day language. But people understood that term. So throw down the water in rain. That's why the word throws there. The awe, fear where one throws self to the foot of one in authority. How many know that here's where we come in? We got to throw ourselves at the foot of the one in authority. So the one in authority, when he says, go that way, you go that way. And if you don't have the fear of your rock, you're not going to go. You're going to come up with every excuse there is to not go. Well, he wants us to be there, and he wants us to go. Now, we see that this 3384 Yerah, it says to look at H and V. How many see that? So we look at the H and V. We'll come to that a little bit later. But 3384 is Yerah. It means to throw, shoot, cast, pour, to throw, cast, to cast, lay, set, to shoot arrows, to throw water, rain, to be shot, to throw, cast, to shoot, to point out, show, to direct, teach, and instruct. I want you to underline that if you're taking notes. If you're taking that note, underline 1C4. Because that's what this context is all about. Now, we have all these definitions, but how do we teach it correctly? Context. The context of what I'm dealing with is dealing with 1C4. That's how you know which one to kind of pull out all these definitions. So we see that it's to direct, teach, and instruct. And it goes on to throw water, rain. And then the Strong's Yerah, we see that it's a primitive root properly to flow as water, that is to rain, transitively to lay or throw, especially an arrow, that is to shoot, figuratively to point out as by aiming the finger. That's the one we're going to look at. To point out as by aiming the finger. That's kind of the context of what's happening here. Because what is Yehuda going to do? He's going to go and he's going to find a way to Goshen. We're going to get there and they know there's about three ways to go. And Yehuda's going to be there. We got to go that way. What's everybody going to do? Go that way. Because if you don't go that, you don't wind up in Goshen. You don't get near God. And so if you're not getting near God, you're getting farther away from him. What's the opposite of getting near? You're getting farther away. And so we want to be close to him, but we gotta understand that he points the finger to tell us the direction to go. So we see that. Now let's look at that HV. I put it up on the screen for you. It says throw, rain, a throwing of the finger to show a direction to walk or live. So we're not kind of on our own to pick out which one the context is trying to tell us to focus on. It gives us that little note, the H and the V. It's telling us which one to focus on. And so we're focusing on, see, we got this broad definition in the Brown Drivers Briggs. But we got to narrow that up because we can't talk about all of them. So it helps us narrow it down, and it's telling us which one. So we're looking at that H, and it says, a throwing of the finger to show a direction to walk or live. How many know that we can't figure it out on our own? We have to have a guide. We need a captain. What good is the boat without a captain? You know, you might have a boat, you might have fuel in the boat, and you might have the ice, you might have lunch, you got everything you need, but what good is it without the captain? You turn it over to the people that's never done that, they'll tear the boat to pieces. They'll wind up on the rock somewhere, you know, because they need a captain. How many know we come into this walk? We can't do it on our own. We need a captain. And so the captain gets respected. Maritime law, the captain's word is the final authority. Maritime law. So do we fall underneath the law of God that his word is the final authority? Is that how we look at it? Or do we have our say? Or our feelings? You can't serve God by your feelings. Well, I don't feel like doing that. Well, he's pointing that direction. I don't want to go that way. Well, that's where he's pointing. And you think you can be a holdout. I'm just going to constantly not want to do it. And the whole time, he's that's the way you got to go. And so we go around and we go that way. We run into a roadblock that way. And when you don't go where he wants you to go, your life is nothing but in a maze. That's right. You wind up at dead ends all the time. It's just a maze. And you moving, but you run into a dead end. You got to turn around and backtrack. And then you're going again. And the whole time you're passing him, he says, go that way. Do you see how much this makes sense? That we look at it from the ancient Hebrew, we can kind of see what is he talking about when he says, Yaakov sends Yehuda to point the way out to Goshen. And so who's pointing the way out for us? Yeshua came to point the way out. So he did that. Now, either he did point the way out or he didn't. Some people say, well, we don't know what we should be doing. We do know. We do know. Now, I'm going to make this connection. I'm going to show you how what Yeshua actually taught, because I don't have to make it my, I'm not making this up. This word don't let you escape from it. It captivates you. Look at V, throw, and then number two, rain, and then number three, somebody say it,
teach.
Uh-oh, because now he's adding a little bit more to it. Remember we talked about the definition you got to pick had to do with teaching or directing? To point in the right direction, because it says to point the way one is to walk in life. If we don't get somebody directing us, we're going to wander around aimlessly. We're not going to have no direction in our life. It's like trying to go somewhere and you don't have the GPS with you. You get familiar with GPS and you rely on it. You don't go to a place you've never been and you're driving around just trying to figure it out on your own. Every time I've ever done that, let me tell you, you might do that for an hour, and all of a sudden you say, I got to ask for directions. One time we was in Florida. We got turned around. This is with the guys. My wife wasn't there because it never happened with her. We was guys going mullet. We're going to go fish mullets in Florida. We got turned around going, trying to get Pensacola, and we had to go to the Wildlife and Fisheries office. No GPS. There was no GPS back then. We had nothing. So we would say, well, yeah, maybe it's over here. We all was maybe. A bunch of men talking about what maybe might be. Well, for an hour, we're going around. So we stopped at this gas station. We asked this guy, hey, we just trying to get back home. We tired of this. Everybody was like, oh, I want to go home. I mean, their belly aching was starting. I was like, man, we got to get. So, yeah, you go over there, take this and then. We were so lost after that guy told us that. I think he was laughing the whole time on. It wasn't nothing after what he said to go. So we said, you know what, we gotta calm down, we gotta pull in somewhere and find somebody that's gonna tell us the truth how to get out of here. We couldn't figure it out. We was back in them roads in Pensacola, all over the place. No GPS, nothing. Finally, we talked to this man and he says, yep, you right there. He said, you go down that road right there, take a right at that red light, and it's gonna loop you right back, you'll be on the interstate. We were right here the whole time. But we were going, the next thing we were going to do is buy an atlas. How many remember that? We don't talk about an atlas no more. We all got live video GPS on our phone. But back then, you got to get an atlas. You got to go to the gas station, I need an atlas. And that was our next step. But this man helped us. We got home. Finally got home. And let me tell you, the crew we had with us, you ain't never getting us back over there because it was a bunch of people leading without direction. We needed somebody to point the finger, go that way. And we were all grown. We were all married. But we were lost as lost gets. But you got to have that atlas, right? You get that atlas out. I remember, Miss Charlotte, when we first started traveling, there was no GPS. They had the atlas, boy. So if she got a little tight, she said, stop. Uh-huh. And we get out, we were serious. We get out on the side of the road, we put that atlas on the hood. like we were like in captain school doing plotting. I'm telling you, how many times we done that? Put that thing on the hood, there it is. Lay it out, open that thing up. Now we see where we are. Get a big picture. So you gotta be pointed in the right direction. We need somebody to direct our life, because we tried it and we all wind up in trouble. We gotta be tired of being in the maze of life. So we see that this V is talking about directions. Teaching, rain, lay, direct, inform, instruct, show, shooter, through the water. So that's that, and it's related. What's this root? The V. Again, it's all connected to the same root, 3384. But how many want to drop down an I? Now, I don't give I, but I'm going to give I. Because I has the same root. It uses the root of Yerah, and it adds the Tav. How many see that? The Vav, the Resh, and the Hey. And it's pronounced Torah. So I'm just trying to show you that we didn't put this here. He put it there. It can't escape from us when we go back and look at it. Because somebody said, well, you know, it's Torah, 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 Torah. Well, what do you think Yeshua was pointing to? What is he pointing with his finger? What is he pointing to? Not something I made up. This is what the word locked itself in, and you can't escape from it. Now, you don't have to want it. You don't have to want to believe it. You don't have to even follow it. But you're going to wind up in the wrong place. I guarantee you wind up in the wrong place. Right. It means that this word Torah is teaching. The direction one is to take in life. The direction one is to take in life. That's 8451, and the root of that 8451 is the same root as Yerah. You can't escape this. So if we were changing words, you might have an argument. But we're not changing words. We're sticking it out with the same thing that's kind of laid out for us. So that Brown's Driver Briggs 8451 Torah means law, direction, instruction. Instruction, direction, human or divine. How many of you know that the angels had to be given direction? How many of you know that the angels, that when the watchers left their habitation, they were given a command to not leave their habitation, but they did, so they broke rank, and when they did, they were out of line with God, and that's why they're in chains into Taurus to this day. That's why they're there. Peter tells us that. They're in chains into Taurus to this day. But see, this is stuff we don't realize. Do you know that the sun has its own circuit? Commanded to be there. It can't just do what it wants. Right. You go from there to there and you keep doing it until I tell you to stop. The moon has its circuit. It has to do what it's told. The stars have to be in their circuit, just like they've been told. So human or divine, it doesn't make a difference. The angels, even Lucifer was told to do a certain thing and he went the opposite. He was the highest angelic being ever to be created. And he had to just take that spot. He was pointed. You keep that spot. You don't try to have this one over here, that one over there. That's your spot. This is your spot. But when God made man and he gave the whole earth to man, Lucifer said, I thought that you were making that for me. What's up with this? And so he revolted. And how many know, just because you can revolt don't make you win. He didn't win. God saw to that. And so it also means this Torah, we're talking about Torah. body of prophetic teaching, instruction in messianic age. What age are we in right now? The messianic age. Now, the church world wants to say we're in the church age. Where's that at in the Bible? Where is that? Last I heard, Yeshua's the one sitting on the right hand of the Father, and Yeshua's the one that's making intercession. He's our high priest. He's still in charge, and he's still directing us. We don't get to give directions. He gives directions. We have to follow directions. So when you say it's the church age, it's almost like you're giving a license to the church to direct people's lives. And that's what most religions do. They direct your life. And so when you go to the Bible and start saying what the Bible says, people get offended and say, well, you're trying to direct my life. No, I'm showing you the Bible directs your life. If I can show you, then I'm not the one directing you. I might be the speaker, but I'm showing you the Bible directs your life. And shouldn't that be the way it is? Not the religion directs our life, but the Bible directs our life. So we see this body of priestly directions or instructions, body of legal directives, law, the law of the burnt offering, a special law, law, codes of law, customs, manners. How many see this? And so we see this all kind of all laid out. And in the Strong's, it says the Torah, a precept or statute. But where is it from? Where's this Torah from? Where is it from? 3384. This is what it says. I'm not making this up. This is what it's saying. It's telling. It's showing us how it's connected. You can't unconnect them. And especially the Decalogue and the Pentateuch of the law. So we see all of these connections made for us. Now, I like to hand these out. When I was a little boy, we used to sing a song. And we'd all get one of these. Some of you will remember this, but some of you, you didn't do these. Here, you hand the rest of them up. So I'm gonna wait for you to get yours. Everybody got yours. Just hold it in your hand. I'm gonna need one too. I want to play. All right. So we used to all get up and sing in Sunday school. And we'd all have one of these, and we'd sing this song right here. Let me see this song. That song is what we would have to sing as kids. Because way back then, this is what folks believed. They believed this. And so as kids, we'd sing. Everybody ready? Who remembers this song? Brother Eddie, because he was in the, I remember him sitting there. We used to be so wired as kids, fidgety. When we'd be up there, we'd be measuring our shoes against each other, because it was always something to play. You know, so we'd put our feet next to each other, and you try to scoot yours up to have bigger shoes, whatever we was doing. But we'd always get, hey, quit that. Yeah, right? And then the song director would help us. And it'd go like this. One way, God said, to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. One way, God said, to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. No other way, no other way, no other way to God. One way, God said, to get to heaven, Jesus is. And we had to have it like that. All the kids. And they give us a little one way. We had one way. How many know that there's signs that, there's real signs that says one way? Now on yours, it's modified. I modified it. It says, Yeshua is the only way. So this is for you to keep. Because as long as I'm here, this is what we're going to be preaching. There's only one way. There's no. Now when you say get to heaven, you say, well, I thought we wasn't going to heaven. Well, heaven in the book of Matthew is referred to, it's a designation of God. It's to get to God. And Goshen means drawing near to who? Yeah. To God. How do you do that? There's only one way. Right. One way. And who's going to point that way to us in the message today? Yehuda, who's a messianic figure, he's going to be the one to point us to the way of Goshen. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? And so we see that, but I thought, you know, this would kind of bring you back, helps you remember it. But this is our one way to get there. And so we see that. Now, in our overall lesson, we see that it's to teach or to teach or instruct. To teach or instruct. Now, in Exodus 12, verse 49, I thought it was important to put this verse in there. It says, there is one Torah for the native born and for the stranger who sojourns among them. How many Torahs? One. There's one Torah. There's not a different Torah for the stranger. You're not native born. So they might, maybe we are, maybe we're not native born. We don't know because the DNA has just been all lost, right? We was in a dispersion. We have no idea. Many people, millions of people have no idea because of the dispersion. And so thank God that people's coming out of the dispersion. But it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. It says whether you, if you're native born or not native born, there's only one Torah. One instruction. And who's pointing out the instructions to us? Who's the only one legally can point that instruction to us? Yeshua. He's the only one. Nobody else. So we're not going to listen to nobody else. We're going to listen to Yeshua, and we're going to take his word for it. Now, I'm going to give you some of his word. We're going to find out he was dead on it. He would pull no slack. He was making sure that we understood that. So the way is Elohim's Torah. That's the way. Now we, and I don't want to jump ahead, I'm going to get to it, but we know that John 14, we're going to get there at verse 6, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way to get around that. We know that. Now who makes that declaration? He does. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He makes that declaration. So if he says he's the way, and what if he accidentally, without realizing, explains to us what he meant by that. Mm-hmm. And we got scripture to back it up. Right. What if he accidentally tells us? We're going to see. Because it says here, the way is Elohim's Torah, signifying that Elohim's divine instructions, which is the Torah, provides the true path for life. Mm-hmm. It's not theory. How many know the Torah is not theory? You open Genesis up, that's not theory. Now, we have people who have these podcasts, these influencers. Listen, be careful what influencer you listen to. Because you find out, they say, well, Genesis is really not real. It really never happened. It's just using that as a kind of an example to get you somewhere. And then you find out those very influencers, they're doing mushrooms. They in Wally World. I mean, they're seeing Star Spangled Banner. I mean, they're out there. You don't want to take nothing, they say. You want somebody who's prayed in the set-apart spirit, bowed before the Yeshua, and said, God, I want to be able to deliver the message of truth to your people. That's the person. He might not be an influencer, but one thing he's got a hold to the heart of God, and his teaching, you can see that teaching when he expresses the truth of God's word. Maybe he don't have millions following him. But young people get caught up into that. They get caught up into it. They want to be friends with the biggest influencers there is. And there are many influences. There's three influences that came out. Three influences that came out. I named their names. You know exactly who I'm talking about. And they said there are many ways to get to God. One was a pastor. The other was a talk show host. And the other one does game shows now. But very important people influence a lot of people. A lot of people follow them. Many ways. The fact is, that's just not true. It's just not true. How do we know that? Because our master said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he said. And if we're going to follow him, we can't go with somebody else's idea. We can't, listen, if Yeshua's going that way and this guy influence is going that way and you say, I'm a follower of Yeshua, and then you go in the way the influencer says, you're not a follower of Yeshua. You're going to be the one that says, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this in your name? You did it in his name, but he says, depart from me because you can't take directions. I told you to go right and you went left. Every time he says something, we go the opposite way. And how many know people can be in church all their lives and all of a sudden, I don't know if it happens in their sleep or what happens. All of a sudden, they want to go a different direction rather than going with what God says. And so you got to follow the Word of God. Now, you can have not a full understanding of the Word of God and been going in the direction, but once He reveals Himself to you, there's no more excuse. You have to change course. You have to correct. How many know it's important to correct? Because when you're going for a long distance, you don't know about that set and drift. You know, you got to make a correction. What do? You pull back out the charts. You go back over and say, oh, yeah, I need to make a correction because I wasn't counting on that 4-mile-an-hour current, and it's taking me a little bit off. It's okay. So there's been times we had to make corrections, right? And so we guide it in our corrections. We don't self-correct. We're guided. The finger points, and we do what He says. And so you have to be led by the set apart Spirit in the Word of God. You don't do anything. Listen, you'd have to be crazy to do any kind of message. I don't care if you're doing a funeral; it doesn't make a difference. You got to cover everything. Everybody there, God, I cover them, and I don't want to speak whatever you want me to speak. I'm gonna say whatever you want me to say, no matter how difficult it gets. I'm gonna say what you want me to say, because you never know what you're walking into. You might, you know, we just had an example of that. Yesterday, I was at a funeral. It's not a member of our church. It's in the family. I've been knowing them all my life. Of course, Sister Felicia's her family. But a lot of them been in and out. Wishy-washy, can't make their mind up what they want to do with God. And so you go into environments that's demons will manifest. Manifesting demons. And you better pray. You better get the Word of God, and you don't change it because somebody gets upset. You preach that word. You've been given that direction by God. He pointed the finger. You preach it. You don't have to like me. You don't have to never get me back. But one thing's for certain, while I'm here and I got the mic, you're going to hear the gospel, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to get saved. Whether you choose that or not, that's up to you. But you'll never stand before God and say, nobody told me, because I can tell you, Jesse Morris told you that you're never going to make it on your own. You better get right with God. If you don't, you're going to be in trouble. Amen. And so it's not popular. When you're sitting and every eye looking at you, it's been wishy-washy, can't make their mind up whether they want to live for God or not. They're not as receptive, but they might be one. That's all you're there for. They might be one. And if that one, you better be there doing what God wants you to do, because that one matters to God. Right. He can't force people to serve Him. If He would, He'd make everybody serve Him. But He gives the invitation. You give the invitation. And, I said to people, if this meant something to you, you prayed a prayer, believe in God for changing your life, talk to us after service. We had a couple people come up and talk. But when people start with, they know already, they didn't hear very well. If you know already, why aren't you going to church at all? Why aren't you even trying to do right, change your lifestyle? Why don't you try that? Should be important to our life. And so we did to deliver the message. But we see this, He points a way for us, provides the true path for life. Acting as a lamp, a light, a guide to righteousness, leading people back to the Creator. That's what Yeshua does. Now, His way is not easy. His way is difficult. He tells us. He told His disciples. He said there are many different ways that you on paths of life. There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. And the narrow way is straight. It's narrow. It's difficult. It's the word there is used. It also means it's tribulation is the way that leads to life. Right. You're going to go through difficulty. But the broad way, many's on it. They're carefree. It's okay, you know. Everybody's going to die. Mm-hmm. You know? So death don't disturb people. People's more disturbed by guilt than death. We witnessed that. They're disturbed by guilt, but not death. They're okay with dying. I would hate to die without knowing the one that gives me direction to eternal life. That would be a tragedy. I want to know the direction of life before I die. And I said yesterday, you know what the dead know? Nothing. Because everybody believes the dead's listening to everything we're saying. They know nothing. But, you know, you have to point that out because people assume this fairy tale they've been sold all their lives that, you know, they're looking down, they're watching us, they're having a good old time now, their pain's over with. And, you know, there's some truth to some of those statements, but there's so much lies behind it. You have to kind of go through it and weed out all the incorrect statements. And so God gave me a very precise word. I got to the point, got it done, and then he got me working on this right here. Started last night, just putting it together. But watch this. It says, with Elohim representing a singular, powerful God encompassing all natural forces. See, the word Elohim, it's in the plural. But it encompasses, it's talking about a singular God, not multiple gods, a singular God who's powerful, a powerful God encompassing all natural forces, making his laws the ultimate direction for humanity. His instructions is the ultimate direction for humanity. That's why we can never say that Yeshua never came and actually taught the Torah. If he didn't teach it, he's disqualified. He's completely disqualified. So there's some who they'll die before they say that Yeshua taught the Torah because they have a disdain for the Old Testament, a total disdain for it. Makes no logical sense. As a student of Scripture, it makes no sense when I hear that. I go, oh, have they lost their mind? To say that Yeshua never taught this instruction means when God gave him direction, he didn't listen. So what qualification did he have to direct you if he can't listen to his own father? What directions was he using? When by his own mouth, he said, this is not my words. This is the word instructions from the Father. I'm following what the Father pointed. The Father pointed him in direction. And one of the directions the Father pointed me, he said, you see that cross? Go there. He brought him to the garden first. Had to go to the garden. He was having a wonderful meal with his friends. His disciples, he was having a great evening. It was wonderful. Then he told Judas, said, make it quick. Whatever you're going to do, make it quick. And then he washed his disciples' feet. He was having a great time. But now all of a sudden, now he finds himself, he's being led by the set apart spirit. And God says, son, go to that garden. You go to that garden, it's going to be so hard, your sweat's going to be like blood. And now he's weeping. And while he's weeping, the soldiers come in the night and treat him like he's a thief, like he's been hiding. He said, I've been with you all in the day, but you're going to come to me now with swords and spears to get me? And then Judas comes, one of his own disciples, and kisses him. And then God says, don't fight him. Let him chain you up. And they beat him, chained him up, and then brought him before the people publicly. And they made him choose, are you going to choose this Yeshua or Yeshua Barnabas? And they chose the other one. So he felt rejected. That rejection was being directed by God. That isolation was being directed by God. God was pointing the finger. You do it. I know it's hard, son. But this is not the time for complaining. This is the time for you to obey me. Because what I'm about to do through you is save the world. There's a lot of people counting. You know, Jesse Morris is counting on you. He's going to be a sinner from birth. He's a sinner. It was passed on to him. He could do nothing about it, but if you die, you can fix that for him. All he's got to do is accept what you did. It changed his life forever. Scott will be a sinner from birth, but I'm going to change his life if you go to that cross. And let me tell you, I'm so glad our Messiah, our master, when God pointed the finger, he went. But who do we think we are that when he points the finger, we don't have to go? It makes no sense to me. And he's not pointing random fingers. He's pointing to the Torah. He's pointing, and this is not me making it up. This is God's word making sure you don't get it twisted. You don't go off in some fairy tale land thinking you don't need God's direction anymore because Yeshua died and he defeated everything. You don't have to do anything. You have to do nothing. He died so you can keep on sinning, keep doing whatever you want. He died so you're forever saved. It makes no difference. You say, people believe that? Let me tell you, a lot, thousands and thousands of people believe that nonsense. You have to go in his direction. You can't just wander just wander out aimlessly and without any direction. You have to be guided by him. I need his guidance. It connects the concept of the way. Yeshua, with divine teaching, emphasizes that following Torah is following Elohim's will, revealing his oneness and power. Meaning of terms. Let's cover some meaning of terms. Because sometimes we assume people know this. I want to make sure you know it. I'm going to define some terms. Torah literally means instructions, direction, or teaching. What was our definition we took from Brown's Driver Briggs that I told you to underline? Because that's what Torah means. From a root meaning to shoot an arrow straight. What does Yerah mean? Does it have a definition there? Mean shoot the arrow? Or you're shooting it crooked? No, you're shooting it straight. Right. Nobody gets up and says, watch how crooked this one goes. Nobody thinks that way. You know, if you're trying to kill a deer, you go, watch this crooked arrow. You're not thinking that way. You're trying to get straight on that target. You're trying to really take your time and get a precise shot.
That's right.
That's what the Torah does. It don't just shoot crooked stuff out there. Nonsense. Don't make sense that people say these things. It shoots straight. Yeah. It's a guide for life, a light and a path to righteousness. Now, I put that Goshen in there so we wouldn't forget it, because let me tell you, you got to have, because really, what is he pointing us to? To draw near to Goshen. In Goshen, we're drawing near to God. So you can't draw near to God unless you follow the directions of the Master. You can't do it on your own. You don't even know the way to God without following the Master. We've never been there. He's been there. Who's the only one at the right hand of the Father? Who's the only one at the right hand of the Father right now? And I know we all want to say, well, I got some loved ones. I'm pretty sure they were good. They got to be there too. You can keep telling yourself that it makes you feel good. Keep believing that. But let me tell you, the Bible says the only one at his right hand is the Master. Because he made the way. He got there. How did he get there? He kept the Torah perfect. He followed every direction. When God said stop, he stopped. When God said go, he go. And let me tell you, when he took him from the garden, he said, see that cross? You got to go there. You got to face that death. And he faced that death. And then you see that tomb? You have to go to that tomb. And I'm going to turn my back from you in that tomb 3 days and three nights. But then I'm going to raise you up again. And we don't want to follow directions. So we try to make 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday. I don't know how you do that.
Yep.
Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So forget the rest of the day of Sunday.
Right.
Early Sunday morning, he resurrects, and we put him in on Friday.
Yep.
How is that possible? See, but you can tell yourself that over and over and over, and then you can get organized religion to tell you over and over and over, and then you live your entire life believing nonsense.
That's
right. That's not clear directions. Mm-hmm. But we have directions from the Master. The Master tells us what he did and how it happened. All you got to do is go back and follow Leviticus 23 and follow the roadmaps to the Passover, and it tells you the day that the stuff happened. It gives you the precise date, and the Master fulfilled all of them. So he's pointing. How many thank God he pointed you to the Passover?
Amen.
And so we get so far away from God's directions, we don't think the Passover is necessary anymore. Because he died, so we don't think that you got to have Passover, you don't have to do unleavened bread, you don't have to do none of that, because it's over with. There was a point in time we kept none of God's feasts. None. You don't keep none of them. Because we're driving around Pensacola. Yeah, you get nowhere. You've been going in circles for an hour. You got nowhere. And so I think people's going in circles in life. They're getting nowhere. But we see that this Goshen means to draw near. We're drawing near to God. And the only way you can draw near to God is by the Master's direction. You can't get there on your own. If you knew the way to God, you'd have got there a long time ago.
Amen.
So Elohim, we define in terms, right? Elohim is a Hebrew name for God, often translated as God, but grammatically plural, signifying Elohim's supreme power, majesty, and encompassing all forces of the universe. That's the plurality. He encompasses all the forces of the universe. You can't encompass all what I just said in a singular term. But we have a singular God with a plurality of majesty. Hopefully you understand that. Because that's the one, it said an Elohim, bara. Do you understand? That those terms, now we in English we put the term create there, but it was so much more than that. He not only created, he was the essence of every, he brought the material world, all the matter that he needed was there because he was there present. Bara goes so much deeper than just create. Take some time, go look at it, because he was there, he had the matter that he needed to put everything into existence. The earth, the trees, the seas, the creatures, ultimately mankind. Outside of God being there, there was no access to the material, because he is everything and he's all in all. The connection. Instructions for life. Proverbs 6:3 calls the Torah, for the command is a lamp. That's what it says about the Torah. The command is a lamp and the Torah a light. And reproof of discipline, a way of life. Listen, if you don't like to be told what to do, you're in the wrong business. Don't be a Christian. Don't be a follower of the master because you don't like to be told what to do. You're going to be told what to do by the master. Did he tell his disciples what to do? He says, if you want to follow me, leave all your stuff and follow me. You want to be my disciple. They had to follow him. They had to do what he told them to do. And it changed their life. And they were so powerful in their lifetime, they changed the known world at the time because they followed the master. So we have a verse of scripture, Psalms 119, 105. It's the noon. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What's the thing that lights the path? What does the feet represent? So we're walking, right? We're going somewhere. And we're on a what? A path. What lights the path? And so the path now lit. Now I can see where I'm going and I can follow directions clearly because I can see where I'm going. You want to try that? Go through Myrtle Grove and turn your lights out on your vehicle. You'll figure out you need that light. He declares himself to be the light of the world. He declares that about himself because he's lighting our path. He's giving a direction. He don't just go that direction. He lights the path after he tells you to go. So he's the headlight. And you're following him. You know, it's like if you ever been on a boat, you want to be the guy with the spotlight. You there and you're trying to follow the spotlight, your neck got a crick in it. When you mother fish, the guy with the spotlight, you're trying to stay with him. You want to be the guy with the spotlight. Well, let me tell you, you're not the guy with the spotlight when you follow the master. He's got the spotlight. He's the light, he's the one lights our path. But you got to just follow him. It's okay. It's like running in the fog. If you don't trust your radar, don't run in the fog.
That's right.
Because you're going to kill yourself not trusting your radar. If you trust it, run in the fog. You know what it's giving you, it's feeding back to you information. And you're looking at it in real time. It's feeding back. It's sweeping like that. And if you don't trust it, stay home.
Right.
Don't buy one. Just go without one. Because if you're going to run by it, you better make sure you run by it.
Right.
You know, when you like this and... What is this for? You don't see nothing. You can come up 100 times. It's still white.
That's right.
It's still white. The dot wasn't there when, you know, it got there when you did that. Then the dot got there. You know, when you put your head down. I remember me and my wife, we were going across the river one time in the skiff, Ned's skiff. Going to watch the camp for them. They were duck hunters. And I was just getting into that. He had a Lafitte skiff. Had a radar on it. And we had a cabin. So we leave, and Charlotte said, it's foggy. I said, yeah. She said, I don't know what y'all do this for. What's fun about this? So I put my head in the radar, had a little thing on it. And when I took my head out, I was stopping by the camp. Because what was the point of me looking out? There was nothing to see. I knew that thing was telling me. I knew every canal on that radar, and I never took my head out of it the whole time. I had the radio like that, and when I see a boat, I slow down, I communicate, but the whole time I went all the way to Middle Pass, to the end of Middle Pass, made that left-hand turn. When I got to there, I slowed down. I finally took my head off because I couldn't see anything anyway. You got to trust it. You got to trust Messiah. He's the only one been there. He's the only one. Listen, Messiah went in. I mentioned this in the message yesterday. He's the only one that's been on the other side of death. The only one. You want to know who I'm following for eternal life? The one who went there and done it. He took death and snatched it up and said, "Oh death, where's thy sting? Oh grave, where's your victory?" The sting of death is sin, and he conquered it for you and I. That's the one I'm following. Why would you follow somebody that's never been there? It makes no sense. The way, the truth, and the life. Yeshua identifies himself as the way, the truth, and the life, connecting the divine path with his teaching, which are rooted in Torah principles. No doubt about it, they're rooted in Torah principles. Elohim's unified power. The use of Elohim in Genesis emphasizes the one creator is responsible for all universal forces, making his laws, or Torah, the only true God. There's no other true God you'll find. There's no textbook that's going to guide you more true than the Torah, God's instructions. It doesn't exist. Unifying all aspects of existence under one divine source. The core message. Following Elohim's Torah means walking the path of life, truth, and righteousness as directed by the singular, all-powerful Creator. It's about living in harmony with the divine will, revealed through his sacred instructions. So God comes along and says, remember Shabbat. To keep it holy, give that finger. Remember Shabbat. What are we going to do? We got to make adjustments, right? It's what he said. We make that adjustment. He said, this is what is food. He points the finger. What do? You follow his instructions. They're going to like it. Nobody's going to like it. But if you keep being obedient, you're going to get used to it. And so it's not going to be like the first day I'm so happy. I just want to, you're not going to be that. You're not going to be jolly. You're going to be excited about it. But if you keep following his instructions, you're going to get to the spot he wants you to be. And that's eternal life. That's what we're after. Right. Listen, if we're not in here for eternal life, then we're wasting our time. Right. If you're just here to feel good about yourself while you're living now, live it up because you ain't got but a little bit of time left. Right. Life is but a vapor, it says. It's there for a moment, then it's gone. But we're talking about eternity. It goes, it's on. You know, I gave that rope example. That's the entire life isn't about that much. Then that rope just long is over 100 feet. That's eternity. We spend more time frustrated over that little part. We spend no time getting ready for that part. The master is getting us ready for that part. Amen? Listen, he ain't dying no more. He done did that. He ain't coming to be picked on, pushed on, beat on ever again. I don't care who's in charge, ever. And he's going to see to it. He's going to rule with an iron rod. And the glory of God is going to be his strength. The Bible says when he appears, the Antichrist and the false prophet is going to die immediately at his appearing. He ain't coming to fight. He ain't rolling them up and let's get it on, guys. He ain't doing none of that. When he comes and says, that everybody's going to go there. And those who are followers of him, they're going to instantly know that. Because you and I being trained the whole time to do what he says. When he says, it's Sukkot, we putting tents out. That's exactly what we're doing. We're not trying to go against him. That's what he said. And he's going to call that, and Zechariah says that, and he's going to institute the Sukkot, and you don't go at his direction, it won't rain for you. There's punishment. So listen, if it's going to be that way in the millennium with him in 1,000 years, and we say it's not today, have we lost our mind? This is a messianic role that we see played out. Listen with John 14. I'm here now. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in Elohim, believe also in me. Why their hearts are troubled? He died. He's gone. He was there with them the whole time. He's trying to tell them, don't let you. I know you're all wrapped up in this, but I'm telling you, you're gonna be fine. But you got to follow directions. You're not gonna be fine if you don't follow directions. And who's throwing the finger? Yeshua. Is that okay? Is it okay that he says, don't do that, and you quit? Is that all right? Because that's the biggest problem. We don't want to do it. It's not that we can't do it. We don't want to do it. We can do all. I've not come across anything that's too hard to do. But people says it was impossible for them to keep the Torah. No, it wasn't. You say, why nobody did it? Because they're hard-headed. How could Yeshua do it? Well, he's God. Here's why he did it. Now, is he God doing the Torah or is he man doing the Torah? If he's God doing the Torah, then we've been hoodwinked the whole time. We've been hoodwinked because God, obviously, he could do the Torah. He God. But what if man comes and do the Torah? And what does Yerah mean? Hand of who? Hand of man. Man came and done the Torah. And without the now, did he have an assistant? Absolutely he did. God told him what to do and he did it. It's called obedience. And if we do what God wants us to do, we'll have the same results he had. Amen? Because now it makes a big difference that your master conquered all what God instructed him to do for us, and we could do it because we've seen him come as a man and conquer that for us. What an amazing God we serve. Amen? It said, in my Father's house are many staying places. If not, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I shall come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you might be too. I'll leave it up to you to find out where he's going to be. Because it tells us where he's going to be. We read it slow, we find out he ain't staying, he's coming, and where he is, we're going to be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas is struggling. He's always been struggling. That's why he's called Doubting Thomas. Said to him, Master, we do not know where you are going, and how are we able to know the way? Yeshua said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. That's what the master said. What powerful statement has been made there by our master. If he's the way, the truth, and the life, and he's given the direction, the Yahweh has been given by his hand, the hand of a man has been given that direction, his hand, then how could you go wrong? The only way you go wrong is you don't do what he says. He gives these directions, gives us these instructions, and we don't want to do them. We're trying to find an easy way, another path. Let me tell you, there's not many paths. No one comes to the Father except through me. If I don't give you the directions to the Father, you don't know how to get there. You're wandering around. You can't figure it out on your own. If you had known me, you would have known my Father too. From now on, you know him and have seen. Philip said to him, Master, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Yeshua said to him, have I been with you so long and you have not known me, Philip? Yeshua followed the Father's direction so precise. He said, if you're looking at me, you can't miss the Father. You're going to run right into him. If you follow Yeshua, when he goes steps, you step. When he goes this way, you go that way. And you just follow him. You're mimicking every step he takes. You're going to bump right into the Father. That's what he's trying to tell him here. Because that's what Yeshua did. When the Father done something, he was on it. You never see Yeshua had any qualms with God when he was told to stay and not go and then go. Later on, he went. I mean, you see that? We have this documentation. We have this historical record. When he went to the Sukkot there, he said, I'm not going to go right away. But he went later on. Why didn't he go right away? Because he wasn't told to go right away. He was told, hold up. And he stopped. You know, when you can get out there and say, well, I'm the Son of God. I can do what I want. Well, you get saved and been saved for a while. You know, I've been preaching in the Faith Hill for almost 40 years. I can do what I want. Go and do that. Go ahead. Go ahead. You'll figure that out quick. It doesn't work that way. You have to humble yourself before God. You have to be directed. You don't get to pick what you're going to preach. I'm preaching this because I want to. You have to ask God. Ask Him. So I asked Him, Lord, what's the key? Because I went through 47 in my spare time this week, past week. I went through 47, and I was like looking at 47 kind of from a distance, right? Seeing what it's all about. But I wasn't led to anything in 47. I was led to go back and talk about this because we can't close chapter 46 without this information. That would be a tragedy. And it doesn't, listen, if Brother Scott would have come up, he was touching on this stuff. Right? Well, because God knows this is important for our life. He don't just tell one person. He's not, the master points us like that, and we follow His direction. So it confirms it for you. So you can say, I'm following Him, because you know you could go many places. There are a lot of scriptures. You can go many places. But He says, no, we got to do this. And so Yeshua said to him, I have been with you so long, and have you not known me, Philip? And he has seen me, has seen the Father. And how do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? Think about that. I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. The word that I speak to you, I do not speak from myself. But the Father who stays in me does His work. How is the Father doing His work in the Master? Because the Father is doing His work because He says, go there. He goes there. I want you to go to this Shabbat. I want you to open the scroll. I want you to read Isaiah 61. What did Yeshua do? He read Isaiah 61. Why? He's directed. He's given that direction. I want you to do this, do that. And so everything the Father's directing him, that's why he says the Father's doing His work through me. Can you imagine following God that precisely, that you'll be doing the Master's work in your life? What is the Master directing you to do? I can tell you, it's a Friday night. Right? That's what the Master's saying. It's Friday evening. Shut it down. I want to be where He wants me to be. Because it's important to Him. So we got to, it's not just words where I'm following Him. Well, if you're following Him, you're going to start doing the stuff He wants you to do. You're going to follow Him correctly. But the Father who stays in me does His work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe me because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these he shall do because I go to my Father. Now, that's a very powerful statement. You wonder why this is not evident? Because we're hard-headed. He's pointing that way and we want to go here. He says, sit right there. We want to sit over there. And we get so contrary to him, he says, sit in the brown chair. We're going to sit in the green chair. And we're going to touch the brown chair. Because we feel I'm doing what God wants me to do. You're not. That's right. We're contrary to him. He didn't say touch the brown chair. He said sit in the brown chair. And so if we can get to fine-tune our lives with the Master's direction, these works will happen. How many see we have a lot of work to do? The reason it's not happening because we always got a remedy of why we don't have to. We want to get so close, we rub our shoulders with what's correct, and we feel good about that. But it's incorrect because he didn't direct us to that. And so we have to fine-tune our walk with him. And whatever you ask in my name, that shall I do in order that the Father might be esteemed in the Son. If you ask whatever in my name, I shall do it. The Bible provides numerous examples of individuals who choose to follow or disregard Elohim's instructions. The way or the Torah demonstrates the contrasting outcomes of obedience and disobedience. It all hinges of whether you're following that direction or you're being obedient or being disobedient. It'd be just like this. You have a GPS, and the GPS, you used to have it where it says, turn now, whatever. It used to be a funny that used to tell you stuff. You know, you're going. And so it gives you direction. Well, I'm always passing up the exit. Charlotte said, do you hear what it's saying? I said, I hear it, but I'm not hearing it. And that's how we do it, Yeshua. We hear him, but we don't hear him. Don't be a person who's hearing me tonight but not hearing me.
That's right.
So you got to, because you got to turn around. Mm-hmm. It said go that road. You got to go take a U-turn and come back and hit it. Now, sometime it auto-corrects for you. Mm-hmm. You know, it auto-correct, but the auto-correct, you don't know where you're going now. You mapped out the first direction. You passed it up, and you said, well, I'll let it auto-correct. Don't serve God that way. You always want God to fix it for you. Auto-correct my life. Why don't we quit passing the road up when he points to it, and we don't have to worry about the auto-correct. Amen. So we depend on that to happen. We think it's going to be wonderful, and the auto-correct and bring you where you don't want to go. We have to make sure that we understand that. I always tell Miss Charlotte, I say, listen, because sometimes we wind up in the boondocks. Some sure enough roads that you don't want to go down in the dark. And I'd say, listen, if you ever come this way and this thing tells you to go this way and you by yourself, this is dangerous. I'm afraid now and it's daylight. I said, so what you want to do is you want to get the direction, then blow it out and just see where this is taking you. Because you can always go to, there's another way to go, a safer way to go. And so, how many know that Yeshua is always going to point you in the safest way? It don't mean everything's going to go the way you want it to go. Sometimes he's going to bring you to the garden. Sometimes he's going to bring you to the cross. Sometimes he brings people to the grave. That's all difficult stuff. But he said it would be difficult. He said, if you follow me, it's going to be distress. It's going to be difficult. But we have to be obedient to him. Amen? Examples of people who followed the way. These individuals demonstrate faith and obedience even when it was difficult or countercultural. Noah. In an age of corruption, Noah was a righteous man who walked with Elohim. He obeyed Elohim specifically, a specific and unusual command to build a massive ark, an act of faith that saved his family and the future of humanity from a great flood. He got that direction. God said, build that ark. What if he wouldn't have built the ark? Would it have changed things? How important it is to follow directions. Abraham followed directions. Known as the patriarch of faith, Abraham followed Elohim, called to leave his home for an unknown land, and was willing to sacrifice his promised son, Isaac, demonstrating total trust and obedience to Elohim's direction. And the one we're famous of talking about today is Joseph, the son of Yaakov, followed directions. Despite being betrayed by his brothers and unjustly imprisoned, Joseph remained faithful to Elohim and resisted sin. Even when tempted by Potiphar's wife, his integrity and obedience allowed Elohim to use him to save his entire family during the famine. Is it important to follow directions? I know you don't like it, Joseph, but I put you in the pit. I said go to the pit. Quit fighting it. Now he's struggling, right? He's a young lad. He's 17 years old. You're going to fight it. We're going to fight it. We're going to be unlearned. We're going to be unskilled. But we're supposed to sharpen our skill. We're supposed to learn more as we go along. He don't want to be in a pit. He's 17. He wants to go back and tell stories with his dad. He wants to go back and see his brother. But he put him in the pit. Then he got him out the pit, and he got sold as a slave. Now, if he'd have been fighting, they could have killed him. You know, he don't want to fight the people who bought him. They own you now. Now you're owned by somebody. Don't fight them. They're going to kill you and run a sword through you. Just calm your nerves. It's okay. I know you're struggling. They're going to take you a long way from here, far away from here. It's the farthest he's ever been from his father, gone, far away from him. But God was directing him the whole time. You're going to go work for Potiphar. You're going to be a good slave. You're not going to talk back. Giving that direction. How many times God gave us direction, we don't listen? And how many times it cost us? How many see how important this is? So we talk about stuff we want to do. We talk about following Messiah, but are we really following his direction when he points the finger? Very important. Moses followed direction. Though initially reluctant, Moses followed Elohim's instructions to the letter, in leading the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt and delivering Elohim's Torah to the people. Daniel and his friends followed directions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, while in captivity in Babylon, Daniel refused to stop praying to Elohim despite a royal decree, and his friends refused to bow to a golden statue. Their unwavering commitment in a hostile environment led to a miraculous deliverance. When you follow God's directions through his son, you're always going to have victory if you follow his direction. Now, sometimes victory is difficult. It comes in all different shapes. Victory sometimes comes in difficulty. Some people, victory is their death. Like Hezekiah's victory would have been his death, but he got added lifetime and it ultimately cost him. His victory was his death because he was doing things right. He gets that added life, that you kind of relax a little bit, and when he points the direction, you quit following it, it turns out bad. Examples of people who did not follow the way. Adam and Eve. They disobeyed Elohim's single command not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. This original act of disobedience introduced sin and suffering to the world, the whole world. Because they wouldn't follow this one command, a single act. So he says go that way and you go this way. One single act can alter the project where you're going to wind up. It can alter that. One single command. King Saul, Israel's first king, Saul repeatedly disobeyed divine instructions, most notably when he failed to completely destroy the Amalekites as commanded, sparing the king and their best livestock. This led to forfeiture of his kingdom. He was told and given a directive, kill them all, kill everything, livestock and all. I'm going to supply you need. You don't need the livestock. I'm going to give you better livestock. Couldn't do it. Started to see, I want to provide, I'm the king. I'm going to provide my own riches. Because of it, he forfeited the kingdom. Can you imagine doing something to forfeit the kingdom? Living in the kingdom with God forever and ever? Jonah, the prophet Jonah, initially ran away when Elohim told him to go to Nineveh and preach repentance because he despised the city and did not want them to be saved. Elohim sent a great storm and a great fish to bring him back to obedience. Lot's wife, when fleeing the wicked city of Sodom, an angel commanded Lot and his family not to look back at the city. Lot's wife disobeyed the warning, looked back with longing for her old life, and was turned into a pillar of salt. Be careful not to want your old life back. You've been set free from that. What would possess you to want the old life back? Don't look back. You've been given a direction. Go down, go that way. And you're trying to find out what happened yesterday. That's over with. You've been given this direction. And she looked back and it cost her life. King David, in the matter of Bathsheba, though often described as a man after Elohim's own heart, David committed adultery with Bathsheba and then orchestrated the murder of her husband, Uriah the Hittite, to cover it up. While David repented, his actions had severe lasting consequences for his family and kingdom. Severe consequences. But thank God he repented. So these right here showing that God gives second chances. He gives you an opportunity to royally mess up because you can't follow directions and still bring you back and give you a name. That's the kind of God we serve. Several scriptures in the New Testament strongly support the belief that Yeshua is the only way to the Father and salvation. Most direct statements come from Yeshua himself, but this message is echoed throughout the epistles and other gospels. Here are key scriptures that emphasize this belief. Now, he is the way, or he's not the way, and scripture has to tell us that he's the way. Now, he said it himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if we just have that, that should be enough, right? But let's see what else he said. John 14, 6, we see what he said there. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John 10, verse 9. I am the door. Whoever enters through me, he shall be saved. shall be, not maybe, not might, shall be saved, and shall go in and shall go out and find pastors. John 3:16, for Elohim so loved the world that he gave his only brought forth son. What's the qualifier? The only brought forth son. Without Yeshua, there's no salvation. So that everyone who believes in him, who? The only brought forth son. Who's the him here? The only brought forth son. Should not perish but possess everlasting life. Who's the giver of everlasting life for what he did? Our master, our savior, the one who's pointing his finger, the one who has the authority to yirah our lives, direct our lives, instruct our lives, teach our lives. John 8 verse 12, therefore Yeshua spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall by no means walk in darkness, but possess the light of what? Of life. That's what the goal is, right? The light of life. How many know we have to have the light of life? And so we're not talking about just any light. We're talking about the light of life. And we need to possess that. And who's the one that gives that? Our master. John 8, verse 24. Therefore I say to you that you shall die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. How many see that? This is not, there's no conjecture here. This is not, he's telling definitely what happens if you don't believe in him. You die in your sins. If you die in your sins, you're forever lost. The only one that can get us out of our sin condition is the one who points the finger. He gives the instructions on how that happens. And one of the things he said, we read it to you, you have to repent. This is from the teachings of the apostles. Acts chapter 4, verse 8 through 12. Then Kepha, filled with the set apart spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if today you are called to account for a good deed toward a sick man by whom he has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that in the name of Yeshua Messiah of Nazareth, whom you impaled, whom Elohim raised from the dead, and by him this one stands before you healthy. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. And there is no deliverance in anyone else. Anyone else. I mean, see that. No deliverance. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we need to be saved. No other name. There's not another individual that you got to get directions from. Who's the only one we take directions from? It's the master. He's telling us this. He's proving this time and time again. I'm giving you all these verses to show you there's not a different way. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one Elohim and one mediator between Elohim and men, the man, Messiah, Yeshua. So who's the one, the hand of man that we're following? This text is telling us, the man, Messiah, Yeshua. We're talking about the man's hand, Yirah, right? We have the Yud and the Resh. We have man's hand directing, pointing the finger. Who's the only one that the Bible says is qualified to do that? It's telling us time and time again, there's only one, it's the man, Messiah, Yeshua. 1 John 5, 11 through 12. And this is the witness that Elohim has given us everlasting life. And this life is in his Son. He who possesses the Son possesses life. He who does not possess the Son of Elohim does not possess life. Is that clear? You possess the Son, you possess life. If you do not possess the Son, you do not possess the life. Very clear. So he has to give us directions. We don't even know. We have no idea how to get to life without his direction. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And you were dead in this is our condition. You were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. You followed a different directive, the course of this world. According to the rulers of the authority of the air, of the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. That's who we follow, the disobedient. We were disobedient, following the disobedient. And this is what happens. Now I want to show you what the course of this world looks like. Take a look at that. How'd you like to follow that? How many remember when you was in that spot right there standing where that man standing? Depend how you felt when you woke up. You woke up, you were going this way, you were going that way. You had no idea. That's what the course of this world looks like. I wanted to point that out to you to show you that the world says there are many ways to God. How many know that's not true? That's false. So if you think life is like this, depends how you feel, you get up, well, I think I'm going to go this way. I think I'm going to go that way. And we live our life that way, and then we come here and sing worship songs. We might clap, we might cry a little bit, and we're not fooling the people, you're fooling yourself. We got to follow his directive. He says do that, we do it. And it's not going to be easy. We're not going to want to do it all the time, but it's necessary that we obey him. Verse 3, among whom also we all once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, as also the rest. But Elohim, who is rich in compassion, because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Messiah. By favor you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Messiah Yeshua. Let me say that. There's a qualifier in Messiah Yeshua. If you're not, we've got to follow his direction. In order to show in the coming ages the exceeding riches of his favor and kindness toward us in Messiah Yeshua. For by favor you have been saved through belief, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of Elohim. It's not of works, so that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works. So what is Messiah going to point you to? Good works. We already know about evil works. We know about following the course of this world. We know about that, those who operate in disobedience. But he's going to point you into good works. What's a good work? Shabbat. Yep. It's a good work. Until he pointed us in that direction, we were going what man said. It didn't make a difference. We're having a majority. The majority don't make it right. Do you understand that? The majority does not make it right. What makes it right? What God's word says. That's what makes it right. And what did Yeshua do? He was at Shabbat, as was his what? Custom. His custom. So what should be my custom? It's simple. This is simple stuff. So when we see this, we try to make it difficult. We try to make the Torah difficult. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. It's not too hard. We hear these things, but we don't really hear them. We don't really believe what we're hearing. It's not too hard. You can do it. You just don't do it until he points. When he points, you do it. And so where's workmanship created in Messiah Yeshua and two good works, which Elohim prepared beforehand. What did he prepare beforehand? It says Elohim prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What is he talking about? What did he prepare beforehand that we should walk in them? What did Yeshua walk in that was prepared beforehand that he could walk in them? Is that all changed? We got a new covenant. Why is the covenant new? Because he changed the instructions? No. The covenant's new because the death stranglehold that had us from the old covenant, he took that away. Them handwritten ordinances that was against us, he nailed them to the cross. He took that away. Now he renewed the covenant with the same ordinances, same principles. How do we know that? Because he tells us in Hebrew. He tells us that with the same group, people group. Same people group. The covenant's with Israel. And how many Torahs do they have for Israel and the rest of the people? One. We read that early on, one Torah. Don't change. Same thing. These scriptures provide a biblical foundation for the belief that Yeshua is the only way to a relationship with Elohim and eternal life. It's that simple. So that was my take on it. I hope it blessed you like it did me. Now I was rocking and rolling through these scriptures. I'm sure that we could have spent time on each one of them. But you got the gist of it. You're not going to be able to say that you don't have the material you need to tell somebody else how important it is for us to follow Yeshua's directive. When he points the finger, I hope that you see now how simple it is. He says, do that, you do it. If he don't say it, don't do it. But if he says, we got to respond to him. Amen? And so I hope that through our little children's song, our little sign, we got some stuff that'll stick. So we want the message to stick. We want it to be something that you're thinking about in the morning. And so... Sure. I don't know if I even undid my thing. Stop mirroring.